This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Plant School Podcast. I'm Rachel Tenney, and here we learn all about plants, how they work, how to care for them, and it's all taught in a way that anyone, from beginner to expert, can listen to, understand, and enjoy. So I hope that you will join me in Plant School. Hello, and welcome to the Plant School Podcast. Today, I'm going to be looking at a social media post about unpopular houseplant opinions and rating them, going through them, judging them. I don't know. This is kind of just like off the script episode. I did one of these before about the worst plant advice you've ever heard, and I had a lot of fun with it. So I'm going to do another one, but this edition is looking at a post where hundreds of people have commented their unpopular houseplant opinions. I'm super excited for it. Before I dive in, if you've been listening to the Plant School Podcast, you know that I do a giveaway every single episode, and I give away a free plant to someone who has left a review on Apple Podcasts. And number two, I choose someone who has answered the most recent episode's question on Spotify. If you're listening on Spotify, there's just a little question underneath every single episode. And they're just for fun. So if you answer that, you're entered in. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts and you leave a review, you are entered in to win a free plant completely on me. Usually there's a greenhouse that's sponsoring it, but they are taking a little break right now because it is their busy season. And so for now, I'm going to be taking over the free plant giveaway for now. So let's start with someone who answered on Spotify. I asked you guys, would you ever consider turning your social media into a business? Because if you remember, I talked with Cameron Curry. He turned his TikTok into a thriving business, and it kind of morphed into creating a product for houseplants. Really interesting. So I asked you guys, is this something that you would ever do if the opportunity arose? So our winner today from Spotify is Erica Perez, 2396. She said, would love to. The only thing stopping me is my shyness. I hope that one day I can put that aside, just go for it and follow my dreams without worrying about what people on social media may think. Erica, I get you. That is a huge thing for me. I think that's why podcasts speak to me so much, is because I really, really value my privacy. And so, yeah, that is like a big hurdle if you are ever thinking of jumping onto social media for a business, because I feel like you kind of have to open yourself up. But thank you for answering and sharing, Erica. If that is you, go ahead and email me at tenneyplants@gmail.com. That's tenneyplants@gmail. Moving over to Apple Podcasts, for those of you who listen on there, this review is from Holly Meg. I'm assuming it's pronounced Meg. It's M-E-G-H. She says, I just found this podcast, and the first one I listened to was the Menstrual Blood one. Oh my goodness, Holly, thanks for sticking in there. But she said, I loved it, and now I'm addicted and have listened to many more episodes. I would love to hear an episode on spider plants if you can. Thank you for helping me keep my babies alive. Definitely going to be adding spider plants onto my list of future care guides. And Holly, thank you so much for leaving that review. Thanks for sticking around when your first episode was the menstrual blood one, because I know not everyone liked the episode. It's funny because the person who inspired the episode, I was recently on his podcast. You should check it out. It's called Plants by Wade Lee Podcast. It's super fun. He just has conversations with people in the houseplant world, and he's so personable. But anyways, I was on there and he said that that was the one episode he couldn't get through, and I couldn't help but laugh because he is literally the one that sent me an Instagram reel that inspired it all. But I'm glad that some people were able to stick through it because I know it was kind of a strange topic to be covering. Anyways, that was kind of a tangent. Holly Meg, if that was you who left that review, go ahead and email me, tinnyplants@gmail.com. Just let me know it was you and I will get you set up with your free plant. And if you want to win next week's giveaway, all you have to do is leave a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or if you're listening on Spotify. Just scroll down, answer the little question that's there for fun. Okay, let's dive in to unpopular houseplant opinions. We're going to be going through these, guys. I always get a little bit nervous about doing these episodes because I love learning and doing a lot of research for my regular episodes. And these ones, I don't do any research besides finding the post. I look at a few and say, okay, this is a good one. I'm going to save it for later. That's literally what I did for this one. And so we're just going to see what we find. This is going to be pretty unpredictable, but I think it's also going to be a lot of fun. So the person who started this post, they asked everyone for their unpopular houseplant opinions. And this is theirs that they started with. They said, I must finally confess, pink princess is an ugly plant. If you don't know what a pink princess is, it's a philodendron. It had a season of hype. I feel like now you can find it most everywhere. But anyways, they continue. They say they rarely turn out beautiful. Most people buy them looking at those fancy photos, but the average pink princess is a mud color, ugly, sad, and deprived. And they say they think the white princess is much more beautiful. I do like the white princess, but I also really love the pink princess. I'm gonna have to disagree with this one. I think the pink princess is so fun because there aren't that many houseplants that have pink. And so when you find one with pink, I'm gonna love it. Just having that difference of color, I automatically love it. So yeah, that is an unpopular houseplant opinion because I don't agree. All right, the next one, they say bright indirect light is one of the worst pieces of information ever given in the plant community. And they go on to be more specific because it sounds like a lot of people didn't understand what they were saying. They said, bright indirect light is not bad advice because it's confusing. I'm saying it's bad because people are pushing the idea that most plants don't like direct sun, which is completely false. And he keeps going to talk about how most plants will appreciate some direct sun. Okay, I do agree with this. Maybe bright indirect light is not the most specific piece of advice. I think it gives people a lot of room to start. And I feel like we do this because they grow in greenhouses and most of the time they aren't getting direct sunlight. You know, they're getting that filtered sun. And so if you go home and stick them in direct sun, they will probably burn. If you do it slowly, they will get used to it and they will be fine. But honestly, I don't think there's like a huge problem with saying bright indirect light. When I say that, like, I also mean that it can get some direct sun and it's going to be fine. Like, it doesn't have to be a full 12 hours of only bright indirect light. I think they're taking it a little too literally. That is my opinion. Okay, next unpopular houseplant opinion. This user says snake plants are not low light plants. They just die slowly. I agree. I don't know if that's unpopular. That's a great point. They do so well when you give them, this might trigger some people, bright indirect light, or if you give them some direct light, they can do really well. So yeah, I think it is a tragedy that they're marketed as low light plants. I think they just die slowly and that's how they kind of got that top spot in the low light realm. Okay, this next one says, Monstera deliciosas do not like to be root bound. Interesting. I only have one Monstera and it is very small. So I feel like I can't really speak on this one. Some of the people who commented on it says, yeah, it doesn't make sense. No plant evolved to grow in a small container, let alone a tropical weed. I got told my plants got too big growing mine, and now people are wondering how I got them so big so fast, shaking my head. Interesting. I wish I had like more opinions on this one of if they do better root bound or not, but maybe they don't. I think the problem is you tell someone it does not like to be root bound and then they get a giant pot and no plant likes to be in a giant pot of dirt In nature, sure, it works because there's other plants around, but if it's all alone in a giant pot of dirt, then all of that dirt is just sitting there, wet. Nothing is changing that except maybe some evaporation that's going on, and so often you get root rot. Whereas in the jungle floor, there's other plants growing. They're taking up that water, so it's not a big deal if their roots are sprawling all around, because that soil doesn't stay wet for very long with the other plants taking up water as well. There's competition for it, whereas when it's in a pot by itself, there's no competition for that water. So that's why I think you have to be careful when telling people, oh, repot it into a big pot and it'll do amazingly, because you can go a little too far with that and you can cause root rot from all that wet soil. Okay, next one. They say, I'm not sure if this is unpopular or not, but I'm not a fan of plant influencers. Oh no, maybe I shouldn't read this one. It's so hard to find good information without running into a blog trying to sell you something. I've seen very few that are helpful. Okay, I'm going through the comments and people are just saying how they're frustrated with plant influencers pushing Amazon associate items, how they're not looking for products, they're looking for good information. Okay, I have to agree. I've seen it where some people do have to sell. They're just trying to earn money, right? And I've fallen into this trap too. Not really, I would say, on like Instagram or on my podcast, because it's hard to find interest there with advertisers. But holy cow, YouTube is a crazy wild west in the houseplant world. I will post one review and get, I don't know, dozens upon dozens of other brands asking me to review their item. And oftentimes they'll like give you the item for free. Not very many of them pay you, so I just had to start saying no because it just got old really, really fast. But yeah, it can get annoying being the customer when all you want is good information. All right, next unpopular opinion. I hate moss poles. They're clunky and ugly, and the way plants grow on them looks awkward and unnatural. If you want to have plants climb on something, maybe have an actual piece of a branch, a bark, a trellis of some sort, or just the wall. I have never used a moss pole, to be completely honest, so I have like no opinion on them. I've seen other people use them, and I just don't care. You know what I mean? If it's keeping their houseplant happy, I see no problem with it. There's a lot of people commenting on this. Someone else said, I hate them too. I know a lot of plants love them and thrive with them, but I just hate them. I've got support poles, but I refuse to deal with the hassle of an actual moss pole. Interesting. I've never thought about it. Moss poles, they don't bother me. They just don't bother me. All right, next one. This is their unpopular houseplant opinion. They say, poinsettias get a lot of hatred. I believe they're beautiful and not that hard to keep. All they need is fertilizer, occasional pruning, and the brightest spot you have access to. Reblooming is a little tricky, but not nearly as hard as people seem to believe. And then there's quite a few comments of other people saying how much they love their poinsettias as well. I had a poinsettia. It got really sad looking, and I'll be honest, I threw it away because it was just kind of scraggly. But I will agree, they're not that hard to keep. What I do disagree on is the reblooming part. Like, I get that you can have it happen, but most people want it to happen right at Christmas time, and that is where it is extremely tricky. My mom had one, and she like kept hers alive and thriving, and it rebloomed for her. But I think it was like the middle of February or March. It was just really random. So yeah, reblooming is not that bad, but to get it to happen when you want it to, I think that's like a whole nother can of worms. I've talked about poinsettias on some Christmas podcasts, and honestly, when I get into the science of like, they need this many hours of sun and this many hours of darkness, and if you mess it up, then it might not rebloom. That's where I draw the line. I'm like, this isn't worth it. These people sound like they don't care when it reblooms. And so yeah, I would feel like it's an okay plant if you don't care about that part. Okay, next opinion. Haley says, it's okay to use pesticides, just make sure you thoroughly read the label and use them as intended. I couldn't imagine spending months trying to fight a huge thrip infestation with beneficial bugs and neem oil. If that's your cup of tea, great, but my mental health and patience could never. Someone else commented, they said, "Those little white puffy mealybugs were driving me to the brink. I used permethrin. I regret nothing." Another person said, "I feel this. I spray a new plant with pesticides every time I bring one home, and I've never had a problem since. I had spider mites when I first started getting into plants, and I tried neem oil and everything, then gave up and got pesticides, and it saved my plants in like 2 weeks." I don't know. I see both sides on this one too, because getting like my degree in landscape management, we learned about pesticides, right? And how to use them, blah, 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 and how they're really great. And the ones on the market are very safe compared to the ones that like didn't make it on the market. So I agree that like they really try to get the best of the best out there that is safe and that will kill what you need it to kill. And I think they're amazing. If we didn't have them, I think we'd have a food shortage. And so we don't realize how amazing pesticides are. But also, when it's just your houseplants and using them inside your homes, I know a lot of people are really freaked out by that. They don't want chemicals floating around in their air inside their homes because our indoor air is already dirty enough. So I kind of see that side of it too. Maybe if you are applying them outside, that could kind of diffuse any sort of pesticide that might get into your air. But yeah, I think they do a great job. When we as consumers demand complete eradication of a pest, which we often do, I think pesticides are amazing at giving that to us. And yet natural remedies don't quite cut it when you're comparing them to pesticides. So I think they have their place, but I understand when people are really nervous about using them in their homes. All right, next unpopular opinion. This one makes me laugh because I agree so much with it. All right, they said bottom watering is overrated. That's it. That's their unpopular opinion. Someone said that they second this, that many of their plants do not tolerate bottom watering well at all, except their string of pearls and SOR. What is that one? String of, what is the R? How come I can't think of that? String of ribbons, string of, there's probably some of you listening, they're like, it's string of this, right, y'all? I wish I could hear you, because SOR, I am drawing a blank. Anyways, let's keep going with this one. Someone said, interesting, my orchids love bottom watering. I have not had any issues with fungus gnats, and I hope I never do. Thank you for your perspective, though. And someone really dives into it, talking about how when it comes to fertilizing, it can get pretty interesting because when you top water, it can kind of flush away excess nutrients and get rid of those nutrients faster. But when you bottom water, the fertilizer places most of those nutrients near the bottom half of the pot where your most active root structure is. And top fertilizing kind of distributes it more evenly throughout the entire substrate. They end with that, it comes down to knowing what works for you and your environmental conditions. That's interesting because fertilizing brings up like a whole new set of reasons in there. I think just bottom watering in general is not my cup of tea. This comes down to, you know, what do these plants get in their natural habitat? Rain falls from the sky, and so that's where I prefer top watering. I still do bottom water if necessary. If my soil is super dry, I find bottom watering to be extremely helpful with that. And it looks like maybe if I'm trying to keep my fertilizer in that root structure of my pot, perhaps bottom watering or bottom fertilizing, whatever you'd like to call it, could also help with that too. That's an interesting one though. Oh, and look here. Okay, the mystery has been solved. The SOR string of whatever it is has been solved. It is string of raindrops. I am not familiar with that one. I don't see it very often, but apparently it's a popular variety of those string of plants, that succulent collection. All right, let's move on to the next unpopular opinion. This person says, I give all my plants the same treatment and all are doing well. I water when the soil is dry, give them the same amount of light, and that's about it. I think less is more when it comes to taking care of plants. And then someone said, LOL, same, except for succulents, but they eventually die anyway. I think with succulents, you have to go to like a new level of less is more, because I feel like when you pay attention to them, then they all just die. You gotta forget about them, and when you notice that soil is extremely dry, then you just soak up, and that's how I've kept mine all happy. But I kind of agree, I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion, but maybe I'm just on the same wavelength. I kind of give all my houseplants the same care. I don't fuss about them too much. If something is going on with them, I spend like minimal time worrying about it. I try and figure it out, yeah, but it does not bother me when one of them is looking sad. I just try my best, keep going, and I feel like honestly they're just happy though when I water them consistently and pay attention to their soil, and that's it. So I agree. Maybe I'm just weird. All right, next unpopular opinion. Ooh, this is a good one. This is another one that I agree with. Okay, they say natural, in quotations, natural fertilizers aren't better than chemical fertilizers. Many people seem to have this idea that natural equals better, and that's not always the case. The most common complaint I see against chemical fertilizers is they can burn your plants. But as long as you can read and follow instructions, then you won't have any problems. Interesting. Someone else commented. They said, this also bugs me. You can burn your plant with natural fertilizers too. I used to work at a garden store and a lady came in wanting to buy a bag of manure so she could plant her potted plants directly in it. Oh my gosh. I had to tell her that she probably should mix it with some regular potting mix if she doesn't want to burn the beep out of them. And then someone else said, I've tried both, but I'm only using chemical fertilizers. The natural stuff stinks, and both yield the same results. And then there's someone on the other side, they say, my hypochondriac brain just didn't like when I'd spill a bit of chemical fertilizer or get some on my hands. I recognize that it's likely nothing to be concerned about unless I drink the stuff, but for some reason, the fishy stuff doesn't bother my bad brain as much. Fair. Fair. If it bugs you, then don't use it. But I have to agree with this one. I feel like chemical fertilizers, they get a bad rap. And again, maybe this is like my education coming in, where if we didn't use chemical fertilizers, we would have a food shortage. That's just like the nature of the game, right? And so I think they're great. I think there's something to be celebrated and to be used. And you don't have to use them with your houseplants. Like, it's up to you. They're your plants. But natural fertilizers often just don't, they just don't carry the punch that chemical fertilizers do. So you end up having to use more. Sometimes they can cause problems with fungus gnats if you are using like a natural product, like a natural food product. So for me, I'm kind of in the opinion that chemical fertilizers are great and can do a lot of good. And I will happily use them for my houseplants, and I use them appropriately, so I am not worried about like environmental runoff, because there is no runoff. All right. Next one. Ooh, this one I don't agree with. They said, I don't like fiddle leaf figs. They remind me of some sort of brassica leaf. They just look like a big cabbage tree to me. That's interesting. A lot of people agree. Someone says, yeah, it's a giant spinach plant. I don't know. I think fiddle leaf figs are stunning. I love their big leaves. I've never thought that they look like a big cabbage tree. So for that one, that is an unpopular opinion to me. Next one, they say, I hate low to no light plant articles. Low light tolerant does not mean they thrive in low light. Please don't put your ZZ and snake plants in a windowless room. Okay, I do agree with this one. The funny thing is I have like a small houseplant blog that I write every now and then on. I don't know if I've written an article of like best low light plants. I think I've actually done a podcast episode on it. And to be fair, before I started that podcast episode, I said that like, there's no such thing as a low light plant. These plants just die slower in low light, and they will thrive if you give them the light they deserve. So I've kind of fallen into that, but also not. I don't know. All right, next unpopular opinion. This person said, you're not rescuing when you buy a plant from big box stores. They say you're just giving big box stores more money to torture more plants. Someone said, I actually did rescue a plant once, actually. I was throwing garbage and saw a plant inside the can. I left it, but it kept bugging me, so I came back, pulled it out, and gave it some love. It looks fine now. Okay, that one is pretty cool, to pull one out of the garbage. That's an interesting thought. I've never really thought about that of, oh, if you go to the sad plant section to rescue a plant, that it's actually just giving them money. so that they will mistreat more plants. For me, that one like doesn't bug me too much. I feel like it's the nature of the industry. You know what I mean? Like with food and crops, there's food waste. And it's really hard to get all of the food used up in time. And with houseplants, like there's going to be houseplant waste. It's hard to get everyone to buy all of the plants in time when they are healthy and doing okay in the store before they start to die from mistreatment of the employees who don't know how to take care of them. It's just like a sad reality. And I don't know if you buying them or not like really changes that. I don't know. Some people are talking about like it's supply and demand, but I don't know. Are they saying, oh, more people are buying our clearance plants, so we're going to mistreat more and put them on clearance? I don't know. That one I'm iffy on. Okay, let's go to this next one. This one made me laugh. Okay, Pilea that are thriving look kind of okay. If you're familiar with Pilea, I think they're also called Chinese money plants. They have those circular leaves. I feel like they had a moment and they are everywhere. But this person says, those skinny stems with 4 to 5 leaves most people have are ugly as beep and don't deserve to be called a houseplant. Someone commented, they said, I could not get my Pilea to thrive. It always looked miserable, though it did put out leaves. Then my cat went berserk trying to chase a bird through a closed window and obliterated it, snapped the stem, and knocked every leaf off. Oh my goodness. Someone else said that they liked the way their Pilea looked, but it is such a needy plant. No matter how big a pot I repotted in, 3 to 4 months later, it started producing these tiny leaves and demanding another repotting. Interesting. I've never owned a Pilea. I've never thought that they look ugly, but that opinion just makes me laugh. I think that's pretty hysterical. And that poor person when their cat just obliterated their Pilea. All right, let's do a few more of these. Okay, so this person says, personally, I'm getting so tired of all the Thai constellation posts. Buying a Thai constellation doesn't also require you to make a post on 8 different plant subreddits saying that you found one. They're probably 6 months away from being a $15 grocery store purchase. If you want to show off your Thai constellation, wait until it's grown for a year or more, then show us how big it got. We don't need to see a picture of your starter plant 50 times a week. Wait until you've done something amazing. This is kind of funny because this post that I'm reading from, it's a few months old, right? That's why there's so many comments on it. And what they're saying is not wrong because I'm pretty sure Thai constellations are in big box stores now and they're very affordable compared to what they were at. And I heard that a lot of collectors were getting mad because now their plants aren't so special anymore. But that's funny that they are so sick of people posting them. Honestly, I think they're pretty. I don't mind seeing them, but this does bring up maybe an unpopular opinion I have, is that I think, not all the time, but oftentimes, rare plants are just a big scam. Because like with the Monstera Thai constellations, like those you can find a lot now. With Pink Princess Philodendron, those were all the rage and they were so expensive. And now you can find them everywhere and they are so affordable. So for some rare plants, sometimes they're just rare because the trends haven't caught on yet and the growers haven't been able to produce as many of them, so they demand high prices. I guess it's a supply and demand issue. So I feel so cautious about rare plants because I am the kind of person that is totally fine waiting like 6 months until they start showing up in all of the stores and where I can buy them at a reasonable price. Like I do not need to be the first one, but that's just me. I know some people really get a lot of joy of having the first ones. But yeah, someone even commented, and again, this was a while ago, they said that they were selling just the nodes of the Thai constellation for about $200. They said that pretty soon you're going to see them for $20 at Costco. And again, that's happening now. And that's crazy that just the nodes were $200. That's just where like my brain can't justify. All right, let's do two more because I've been going through these for quite a while. So this person says, Calatheas are just the non-extreme opposite of succulents. Just don't neglect them and they're fine. Not dramatic or temperamental, just all around nice plants. Someone commented and said, all I have to do is look at them and they die. I have no idea how to keep these things happy. Someone said that they think calatheas are ugly and look like cheap fake plants. There are lots of opinions on this one. I feel like calatheas are just the overall, like, hated plant because they are so fussy. This person doesn't seem to think so. I've never had one, probably because I know that and I would probably kill them. But I don't know, some people just thrive with different plants. I remember I posted that alocasias I thought were pretty easy. Not a lot of people agreed with me there. So I think it just depends on the person. Okay, last one. Let's do this one, because this one just makes me laugh. They said, gendering/humanizing plants is very strange and can get in the way of diagnosing plant problems. It's a plant. It does plant stuff. Coincidentally, some of the unhealthiest plants I see are in posts like, Bobby Luann seems to be feeling a bit depressed lately. What is she trying to tell me? She's my baby and child and family heirloom. Am I being a bad parent? And it's another half-dead cactus or monstera in desperate need of more light and less water. Oh, this just makes me laugh because I do see this. It never, like, bugs me. But just the way they put it is pretty hilarious. I have no problem if you want to name your plants or call them a girl or a boy. I really don't care. But I don't know, on social media, you see all sorts of plant parents out there just trying their best. And some of them, gosh darn it, don't know what they're doing, right? And they just need a little bit of help. These are so fun. I keep reading them. I need to stop. I could probably keep going and going. I want to hear your guys' unpopular houseplant opinions. I'll probably make that the Spotify question of this week, just because they're fun and they're silly. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you have a different opinion from the masses, right? I think mine that I would maybe add, I talked about a few of mine, but one that I would add is I'm like scared to say this because if you do like them, I don't want you to think that I like think you're distasteful, but pots that like feature human anatomy, whether it's like the male anatomy or female anatomy, I just don't like them. I don't like those kind of pots. I personally find them distasteful. If you have them, I honestly don't care. You can like what you like, and that's totally fine, but you will not find one in my house. It's just not my thing. So that is my unpopular houseplant opinion, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode just going through other people's unpopular houseplant opinions. Thank you again for listening. I hope that you will join me in 2 weeks for another episode of the Plant School Podcast. And don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or answer the question on Spotify for your chance to win a free plant. Thank you so much for being here and for listening to the Plant School Podcast. I hope that you will join me for our next episode. And if you would like to support this podcast and keep it going, there's a link down in the show notes of this episode where you can donate to this podcast. And I really appreciate all that help. Or you can go to my merch store, which is also linked in the notes of this episode, and you can find some really cool plant-related shirts and stickers. And if you want to support the podcast but spend no money, feel free to share it with a friend, leave a review. All these things greatly help me out and allow me to keep doing this. Again, thank you so much for listening and for being here at the Plant School Podcast.